Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Yes, sir, Alexander Lee Sullivan, and number is 245-515.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon.
Yes, please.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on June 1st, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, correct.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Here is no attorney with you. Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, by myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. This afternoon, we are authorized for a two-member panel. So we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I am acting as board chairman. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Wesby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Fillum? Fillum?
Yes.
Fillingham, pardon me. Mr. Fillingham and Mr. Wesby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
Thank you. Just 1 second, sir. Okay, so this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in your criminal ways or company as follows. Violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at TLC 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about February 27, 2017, as verbally directed on February 27, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Fillingham, is this true or false?
That's false.
Okay. Based on your statement that it's false, we're going to take further information from our community corrections officer, and then we're going to ask you a few questions before we make our motion to pass from phase one to phase two. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Wesby.
On February 27th, 2017, Fillingham Alexander, ADC number 245515, the offender, reported to the Southbound Parole Office for his initial intake. On February 27, 2017, offenders verbally directed by P.O. Mansfield to establish residence at a placement at TLC 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, 85021. On March 9, 2017, P.O. Mansfield contacted the staff at TLC and they informed him that the offender never reported to the halfway house on or about February 27, 2017. The offender failed to follow the verbal directives of his assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at TLC on or about February 27, 2017, as directed on February 27, 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's an absconder from supervision. On March 9, 2017, P.O. Mansfield contacted MCSO jails, but the offender was not under custody. On March 16, 2017, Senior Officer Poyser attempted to contact the offender's emergency contact, but the phone went to voicemail. Senior Parole Officer Poyser left a message for the emergency contact. Senior Parole Officer Poyser attempted to contact the offender's mother, but the number was no longer in service or was no longer active. Senior Parole Officer Poyser attempted to contact the offender's child, but it was a wrong number. all means to locate the offender have been exhausted. And there is attached to the warrant a copy of the discharge letter from Transitional Living Communities dated March 9th, 2017, that states, as of March 9th, 2017, Alexander Fillingham has never enrolled into the TLC program as directed by his PO, Chris Mansfield.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Fillingham. What is false about this allegation?
When I reported to TLC on the 11th Avenue, that same day, they had no open bed, and then they themselves took upon themselves to call two other TLC locations and transported me to one of them, because I believe it's 24th Street. And from there, that next morning, I called my PO with my new number, left a message, and let him know that the TLC address that we, I was supposed to go to had no open bed. And he never called back. He never did anything. He never contacted me. He had my whole number the whole time. And then on the reports, which I don't know what he was talking about, but my mom's number has never been in any of my contacts. My emergency number, they would have let me know if they had a phone call from my parole officer. Let's see, who was my child? I don't know what that about, called my child. My kid is under 5 years old. And then they had an address that was on the warrant, my old dealer address. If she wanted to find me, she could have gone to that killer address or sent someone from Navajo County to go to that address, and I would have been notified right away, because that's where my daughter lives with her mom. And I was at TLC for over a week and a half, and I had no call back from the PO, nothing. So I had a hard time getting a job, so I ended up moving to Taylor.
Okay, so, you'll have a chance to speak to the board more in detail during the second phase of the hearing. So I'm not cutting you off overall, but I do need to pass from the first to the second phase, and I'll explain a little bit more in detail in the second. But for now, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass from phase one to phase two, and that is, based on the information provided to us by the Department of Corrections, as well as the information warrant number 2017W0826, I move to find Mr. Fillingham delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Seconded
by Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Fillingham, we're going to move on with the second phase of the hearing. And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, sir, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
On February 27th, 2017, Mr. Fillingham was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 20th, 2018 by DPS. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody May 20th, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of December 16th, 2018, which reflects 447 abscond days. Current conviction, 2015, child abuse, 2.5 years. Prior convictions, 2009, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year. 2009, theft of means of transportation, 3 years. This is the second term in DOC, CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 2012, TIS release, absconded 222 days, was revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are minimal. Other arrests, 2003, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2006, criminal trespass, first degree, juvenile detention. 2006, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona, juvenile detention. 2006, theft of means of transportation, juvenile probation. 2007, theft, juvenile probation. 2009, theft of means of transportation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. This community risk score is a G3B4.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Fillingham. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. Just give me 1 second. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with the approved residence of TLC at 9430 North 11th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. According to DOC, you failed to establish residence at TLC. No other placement was approved. So, with you missing community supervision for a long period of time, what were you living during that time?
When I moved to Taylor, that me and my co-wife just got married last August. We got a 1.5 person trailer, and then I had a full job right away, about a week after I got the full time job. And then from there, we moved eventually to a 2-bedroom house in Sholo.
In Sholo.
And then once I got another dog raise, we ended up moving down the street to a big 2-bedroom home. And by that time, it was probably February this year, March, we bought 3 vehicles and all paid for. And then by March, my dad, who's an electrician, he's been an electrician for about 35 years, wanted me to work for him. And so I went from my other job, which I was doing now. I was an apprentice for up to a year at that time. And since I was a electrical most of my life, I told my dad definitely yes, I'd go work for him. So from that time till I got arrested, March 20th, I was working for my dad, an electrician. So, the day I got out, about a week after, after I left the halfway house, I've been extremely successful, no trouble, nothing. I was even a scout leader in my church, and me and my wife co-taught in church and for a primary class. We were expecting our first baby on the 1st of December. I went out there and did something in my life, and my dad told me he's extremely proud of me. He's never told me that in my life, so that was something that I took to heart. And everything that I was wanted to do when I got out, I did. Extremely successful and very close to my family. It's like that's never been that way till this time. And I have a great relationship with my kids and my stepkids. I have a huge support system. And I even call the pro-off every month, once a month. That did nothing. Just now, I just tell them I'm doing good. I have a job. Every month I left them voicemail, and if that did nothing. And just honestly, I don't know why it would be easy for TLC to exchange, I don't know what it's called, but he didn't know where it was. Because I called him and told him that TLC on 11th Avenue was full, and they're the ones that actually transferred me to another TLC.
Okay, sir, 1 second. I need to take some further information from our community corrections officer. Yes, Mr. Westby.
Yeah, so reviewing the chrono notes here, and it states that, and this wasn't in the warrant, but Mr. Fillingham's cholera task came up on March 8th, 2017, and he failed to provide a sample. So on March 9th, 2017, this officer contacted TLC to try and speak to the defender regarding his missed UA. This officer was informed by staff at TLC that the defender did not check in and establish residency there. TLC is faxing over a discharge form. All the discharges that they have through TLC go through the main corporate office that they have. So even though they do have halfway houses whether they have one that's in Sunny Slope, one in Roosevelt, or what, or in Mesa. Okay. And it says here, the offender left, this is on March 23rd, the offender left a voicemail for this officer. The offender stated that his, the offender's cell phone, had been stolen about a week ago from the halfway house. The offender did not say which halfway house. The offender said he had a new phone and 28242530. When this officer called that number, there was no answer and the voicemail box had not been set up yet. There was no further notes of any further contact from Mr. Fillingham to P.O. Mansfield.
Okay, and hold on, one follow-up question, Mr. Westby, and that is, if there were attempted contacts by Mr. Fillingham to parole, left messages, this would have been captured in the criminal notes, correct?
That is correct, and any information he would give him providing his whereabouts, even if there was not a phone number that was able to be communicated by, if he had given his whereabouts and an address, absconding reduction letters would have been sent to the residents, which stated that he could come in the warrant would have been quashed. However, there was no information providing his location, so there is no means to be able to send him any letters to report to the office to get the matter resolved.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Fillingham. Before we continue, I do want to commend you for having secured a stable residence and having work. That's always a positive sign. But I will ask you, what were you doing? Why didn't you make direct contact with your parole officer for 447 days?
When I took off and he didn't call me back. I think the reason when they called, or if he did call, was because AT&T does not work up for Silver. But even then, when I had my new phone, I left him voicemails with my new, he had my new number. I left a voicemail with my new number on that. I told him if he had any questions, please contact me and let me know. He never did. It's a thing. They can say they try to contact me, but they never once contacted me. If I had enough time to get my dad on the phone, he would have said the exact same thing, because I told him, me and my dad were very close. He could be the one that verified that I was actually at a halfway house, because he was the one that was going to bring me some clothes to the halfway house and stuff.
Okay, sir. I want to say again, and I mean it, that I do commend you for working and having secured residence, and it sounds like you have support, but the fact remains that it is your responsibility to maintain contact with your community corrections officer. I know you stated, why didn't they reach out to me or call, but it is ultimately your responsibility to maintain that contact.
But I take the responsibility for that. I apologize.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you being straightforward. It looks like that you were picked up by the Department of Public Safety. What happened that caused DPS to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder status?
They pulled me over. He came up to the window and said, no big deal, but you just need to get your windshield fixed. I had a little crack on my windshield. It all cracked my vision, so I guess they were just to fix it. And then he took my name and my driver's license, insurance, and stuff like that until they found my warrant. But it was just from my windshield being cracked.
Okay, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board member, Mr. Neal, if he has any questions for you.
No, sir.
I have no questions from Mr. Neal. Mr. Fillingham, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand?
I just would like the chance to be actually able to finish my parole. I on my own and not have to do it in here, because I know I can do it out there, it's no problem. The thing with me is that I'm big with communication out there, and that's a big thing with communication goes a long way with me, so I thought there's no communication. But I know I can do parole easily, especially with all the support and family, friends, church, everybody. I just asked for a chance to be able to finish my parole out on the streets, if I can give it that chance. But I understand if it's not possible, though. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fillingham. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Okay, thank you.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case, especially because I do appreciate that Mr. Fillingham really put the effort into stabilizing his residence. I think he stated that he married and was working. And those are all very positive signs for an individual returning to the community. Unfortunately, and I do mean unfortunately, we cannot look past 447 days missing from community supervision. It's just a fundamental violation of the spirit of community supervision. I believe that Mr. Fillingham is being straightforward with the board, but there was no way of verifying his transition back to the community, thus allowing for a safe transition back to the community. So I do not find him a suitable candidate for returning him to community supervision, but I am certainly open to the input of my colleague.
I agree.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2017-W0826, our discussion with Mr. Fillingham, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision, as Mr. Fillingham was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse with the lawyer's company, specifically having absconded for 447 days in which we could not monitor his transition back to the community, and that is my motion.
Seconded
by Mr. Neal. Mr. Fillingham, I take no pleasure in saying this, but your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about December 16, 2018. I recognize that may sound like a long time, but it is a matter of months, and it sounds like that you have a solid support system and work waiting for you when you return. So please take advantage of these last months to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. Pursue any programming that's available to you. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And, sir, we'd appreciate it if you give the phone back to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Fillingham.